You are listening to Valor Voices, a production of the Valor Program. Funding and programmatic support for the Valor Program is provided by the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance, or BJA. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of the U.S. Department of Justice.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Valor Voices podcast. I'm your host, Kurt Bonhammer. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss factors that make up a professional law enforcement officer. To help me do that, I'm going to be joined by Lieutenant Roy Austin. Lieutenant Austin serves with the Dallas, Texas Police Department. Lieutenant Austin currently serves as a patrol lieutenant. In addition, he has served as the patrol supervisor for the Central Patrol Division and has also served as a watch commander in the Dallas Police Department's communication unit. Prior to serving with the Dallas Police Department, Lieutenant Austin served in the U.S. Army, and he's a graduate of the West Point Military Academy. Dr. Austin, I thank you for your service to the country as both a soldier and as a police officer, and welcome you to the Valor Voices podcast.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
So as we kind of dive into this, we kind of want to talk about professionalism and what that means for a law enforcement officer, and can you kind of talk about what being a professional officer means to you?
Well, to me, a professional officer means kind of what we think about when we think about any profession in the United States. It's interesting that we use professional officer when we describe law enforcement officers today, in that fact that we don't use professional to identify doctors or professional to identify lawyers or nurses or dentists, because in those roles, the professionalism is already assumed based on their training, the academic rigor of their training, and what is expected of them, and the outcomes that are expected when we interact with those professions. Today, in public policing, professionalism in law enforcement means that an officer has to be multifaceted. You know, officers always ask me, well, what does a police officer have to be today in the 21st century? They have to be everything to everybody at any time. And that takes a significant amount of training, a significant amount of commitment, and a significant amount of continue training in order to stay abreast of all the things that are affecting public policing today. The context of public policing is changing significantly. What is expected of officers is changing almost daily, and the technology and social media and other things are shining an incredibly bright light on police behavior, good and bad. So we have to understand that the professional police officer today is aware of the context of policing and is completely able to thrive in that environment.
So, you know, you touched on the difference between a profession versus a job. And one of the factors that you mentioned was training and continuous education. What are officers doing differently nowadays than they were doing maybe 10 years ago?
Well, I will tell you, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, some of the older officers will tell you, they would describe policing as being a job, something that they kind of just did. Today's professional police officer is someone who is committed to continuously learning what is happening in the profession. I had the opportunity to travel all over the United States, and I always asked talking to police officers, and I asked a very simple question. I always ask which officers in the room, whether it's police officers or chief-level officers or chiefs of police, I asked them, who has read the president's report on 21st century policing? And I'm always kind of surprised at how few people in the audience have actually read that report. Today's professional police officer must be committed to continuing education, especially for those things that impact our profession nationally and locally. So they have to be constantly looking for that information, seeking that information out, and studying that information in order to become better at their craft. And I think that's very important.
I think that's a good point that you make, Roy. So as we look kind of larger and beyond just the one officer and at an agency standpoint, what do you think are some common practices that a law enforcement operation can incorporate into their practice to help improve a professional environment?
Well, today, law enforcement agencies should be singularly focused on building trust in the community. We are the safeguards of the community trust, and we have to generate and hold the community's trust. Yeah, there's not a single agency, law enforcement agency across the country who can police a community without the community's trust. So there should be this singular focus on what do we have to do specifically in our community to build trust. And that might vary from community to community very slightly, but I think there are some common things that we should be doing. Agencies could be committed to transparency as much as possible. The White House initiative on police data is a cornerstone of that. We should be sharing information with the community so the community can help us solve crime and helps us to build trust with the community. We should be spending resources on community engagement, those events that are going to help build the trust in the community. We should be looking, taking a hard look at the training that we give police officers. The training has to be realistic and in context. All gone are the days where we just sent officers down in a classroom and expect them to learn from simple PowerPoint presentations on a particular topic. The training has to be realistic, it has to be in context, and it has to force officers to think very critically about the situations that they're going to face in the field. And oh, by the way, the topics that are very important today, procedural justice, police legitimacy, building trust, especially in communities of color, are things that we should be focusing on. And we should also have a very good eye on emerging technologies that are going to shape public policing in the future. And some of the things that are, you know, that actually are shaping the perception of public policing, and that's social media. Every agency should have some type of social media mechanism, policy in place to get the message out, to get their message out, as opposed to other messages that might not, that might be generated about the police agency.
Roy, thank you so much for bringing up the important issue of public trust in police officers and building police legitimacy. Practically, how do agencies and officers go about building that trust? Because we all know that public safety is tied to officer safety. When the communities feel safe, the officers in turn feel safe. But we have to get there, and it can't just be an issue from the law enforcement side. There has to be community engagement. How do we get to that point?
Well, I think police departments and police officers have to become very comfortable with the components of procedural justice. We have to be very good at listening to the community and giving them a voice in police operations and what we do and how we do it and the information that we share with them. We have to recognize that every individual should be treated with respect and dignity. No human being wants to be treated less than a human being. Everybody wants to be treated with respect and dignity, regardless of what their position in society is. Police agencies and law enforcement professionals have to understand the value and power of transparency. We have to explain to the community what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what the outcomes are going to be. We have to be forthcoming with information in regards to critical incidents, especially in use of force or officer-involved shootings or any other event that will shape the perception of the community. And also, law enforcement agencies and law enforcement professionals have to understand the value of trustworthiness. And trustworthiness means that we are competent at what we do. We understand what we're supposed to be doing, why we're supposed to be doing it. We understand the context in which we do it. We understand the historical nature that may affect community's perception of the police. And we have to understand that law enforcement agencies and police officers alike have to understand that we're being evaluated based on our character and our integrity, and we should not be manipulating situations for our benefit simply because we can. We should be always telling the truth and being honorable to our profession.
You know, Roy, it really hit when you were talking about the respect factor. You know, how would we want our loved one treated if they were being spoken to by an officer, if they were being detained or even arrested? How would we want that loved one of ours treated by the police? And just showing that basic respect to the individual that you're interacting with, I think goes a long way, especially when it's got to be genuine. I think the thing is, we shouldn't do it just for appearance sakes. It should be something that is built into the character of the professionals who are doing the job. And hiring is a very important thing. What are some elements that chiefs or personnel managers should be looking at when hiring an officer to help make sure that they are positioning their department in a proper manner?
Well, yeah, that's a very good question. So we have to move away from the very antiquated methodologies that we use to recruit police officers today towards a more robust and definitive characteristics that we're looking for in police officers. Today's police officer has to be a critical thinker. Today's police officer must be an individual who can do well in training, but also can adapt that training to different types of situations all the time. So in the hiring process, we should be evaluating potential candidates for their critical thinking skills. We should also be evaluating critical officers on their character characteristics and integrity and their ability to handle stress. We should also be evaluating potential candidates on their particular biases. And I want to caution that by saying every individual has bias. If you're a human being, you have bias. But we have to in the selection process of police officers, identify individuals' biases and figure out whether that bias is going to impact them when they're under stress and have some type of negative impact on their behavior and thus have a negative impact on the citizens that they will ultimately one day be sworn to protect and serve. And I think that's very, very critical. But I also think a lot of agencies are starting to move towards that. Simply hiring an officer today and hoping nothing goes wrong, we simply cannot be doing that anymore. The risk is way too high. So we have to be more defined in who we let into the profession and who we don't. And I think there are a lot of great people out there who would want to pick up the mantle of being a law enforcement professional, but they simply don't have what it takes from a character or integrity or just from a demeanor standpoint to be a police officer. And we have to protect the profession from those individuals.
And Roy, protecting the profession doesn't just end at the hiring process. You know, there has to be that evaluation that continues throughout an officer's career. You know, during their career, they may encounter certain factors that change opinions, that may change biases, that may change demeanors, that may impact performance. Can you talk about the importance of this ongoing evaluation?
Well, one of the things I think agencies are starting to do very well is to have early warning systems that tells them if an officer is starting to have trouble in a particular area. We have to get better. We have to get better at that. And as a profession and as a culture, we have to be more open to getting officers help with certain issues or certain situations before they get in trouble. Public policing in America lends itself, because of the stress of the job, because of what we see on a daily basis, and because of the pressures that we have, could have negative impact on a police officer's perception of the community that he faces, or it could have a negative impact on his ability to do the job. It could have a negative impact on him personally, and it could have an impact on his family. So we have to be comfortable with identifying officers who may be having issues with situations in the job, get them the help they need, and set them on a course that allows them to continue being effective, productive police officers. So that has to be a continuous process. And I think a lot of that has to do with training first-line supervisors to see the signals of when an officer is having a particular issue. For example, an officer who has a series of use of force complaints against him or citizen complaints against him could be a warning that the officer is having some type of issue in the field and that maybe that officer needs some extra attention or some consideration to help adjust that behavior. And that's what we should be looking at. We should be first line supervisors are very, very important in that equation. They should be able to be the first ones to see when an officer's disposition or performance changes in such a manner that it becomes negative and a risk to the organization or to the officer and the citizens that they serve.
Very helpful and very important, Roy. Thank you for that. Roy, are there any other major points that you think are important to cover? And I know there are hours and hours.
Yeah.
I want to be respectful of your time.
I think it's important to talk about how officers are being assessed today. You know, there's in procedural justice, there's an equation. The assessment equals the outcome, positive or negative, plus the process. And I think it's very important for officers to understand that citizens believe, they know we have to be the police. I mean, I know if I run a red light that I'm going to get a ticket, or if I do something wrong, break the law, I can get arrested. But more important than that is how we treat people in the process. People always talk about whether the officer treated me poorly or treated me bad. They never talk about the outcome. And officers go into situations believing that my intentions are good, so therefore I should be assessed for doing good performance. Well, that's not the case. Your intention might be very good, but if you treat people with disrespect, people are always going to remember how you made them feel, and that's more important than the outcome itself.
Roy, thank you for stopping by today. As we wrap up this podcast on the importance of professionalism and defining of what professionalism is in a law enforcement context. I just want to kind of give you an open mic for a minute and talk about any final thoughts that you want to share or any resources that are out there to help fellow officers regarding professionalism.
Well, what I want to share is I can't understate the importance of being a lifelong learner in this profession. There's no way you can be a professional if you're not a lifelong learner in regards to your profession. And there are a wealth of resources available out there for police officers to get the knowledge they need to be lifelong learners. I recommend that every law enforcement professional seek out the resources on the Department of Justice website, specifically the COPS resource website. There's a list of, there's a very long list of some very great resources that are available to officers for free that you can simply download. And also there's a wealth of resources available at the Bureau of Justice Assistance website. So I really challenge officers to visit those websites on a weekly basis, find what information is being posted, or to seek information that they don't already have that can help themselves and their agencies be better. The information is out there for us. We just have to seek it out.
Lieutenant Austin, I thank you for stopping by the podcast and sharing this important information with fellow officers. I hope you'll join us again for a future recording session.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
And we thank all of our listeners for tuning into this episode. Until our next episode, thank you for your service and stay safe.
The Valor Program is dedicated to delivering training, developing resources, and conducting research to improve the safety, wellness, and resiliency of law enforcement professionals across the country. For additional information regarding the Valor Program, please visit valorforblue.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/valorforblue or send us an email at valor@iir.com. Did you know that BJA is dedicated to creating resources, developing programs, and even providing grant funding opportunities to support state, local, and tribal criminal justice efforts? What's even better? All of these are available at no cost. Please visit www.bja.gov to learn more. To be informed about upcoming webinars and training provided by BJA's training and technical assistance providers, visit bjatraining.org. BJA provides leadership, services, and grant administration in criminal justice policy development to make our nation's communities safer.